Hey, this is Paul Wilson of Karate Cafe reminding you to leave a tip or message on the Practical Defense comment line.
Welcome to the Practical Defense Podcast, where you'll learn practical approaches to staying safe in our increasingly dangerous urban environments. I am your host, Alex Haddix, and this is episode 219, Motorcycles, Bicycles, and Firearms. This week, we answer a listener's question about carrying a concealed firearm while riding a motorcycle. Now, since I have absolutely no experience with motorcycles, I called in the big gun, so to speak, Marty Hayes. In addition to being the president of the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network, Marty is an avid rider, former law enforcement officer, firearms instructor, and the director of the Firearms Academy of Seattle. Now, with credentials like that, I think we'd be hard-pressed to find someone more qualified to answer this question. And for those who are not firearms or motorcycle riders, our short discussion provides some good safety tips for those who ride bicycles as well. Alrighty, we'll be right back with Marty Hayes and Motorcycles, Bicycles, and Firearms.
The legal aftermath of using a gun in self-defense can be traumatic and expensive. Get help and peace of mind through the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network. Network members receive much-needed financial and legal support right after a self-defense incident. They also receive education in the form of DVDs from some of the top names in the business, along with having access to a nationwide pool of attorneys. Learn about membership at www.armedcitizensnetwork.org.
Welcome back. And today we once again have Marty Hayes, but this time he's actually representing the Firearms Academy of Seattle, where he's been president and has been teaching firearms since 1990. So welcome, Marty.
Oh, thank you, Alex. It's nice to be back and under a different capacity this time.
Okay, so before we get into the discussion, let's go ahead and play the voicemail that the listener submitted.
Hey, Alex, this is Richard from New Mexico. I got a suggestion for a podcast. Maybe you could do some research or find somebody that would know some information about this. I recently got a motorcycle, and I have my concealed weapons permit. But with my winter gloves, I can barely get my finger into the trigger guard. So I was thinking about going to with Derringer Bond. I think it's Bond out of Texas sells a Derringer, and you can get them in different calibers. And you have to cock it before you can shoot it, but it doesn't have a trigger guard. And I know it did quite a bit of practice to get good with that. But also, the problem with wearing a helmet where you got your vision is blocked and your hearing is muffled quite a bit. And I know my greatest advantage is being able to get out of a situation pretty quick, but I was just hoping that maybe somebody out there with a lot of knowledge would have some good tips on things to avoid and things you could do on a bike. Thanks. Have a good weekend.
So, Marty, one of the reasons why I brought you on is because I know that you're a motorcycle enthusiast, and I have no experience at all. So I'm going to step back and let you share your knowledge and experience.
Okay, well, that sounds good. I've been actually riding motorcycles longer than I have been shooting, and I've been shooting since I was a teenager. So motorcycles and guns are kind of my whole life, along with a little bit of golf once in a while. So I'm happy to share what I know, and most of the time when I'm on a motorcycle, I am armed, unless, of course, it's in a non-permissive state. And since I'm no longer a police officer, I don't have the right to carry all the time everywhere. And so whenever I don't have the right to carry, I don't carry. I think it's important that we law-abiding citizens actually be law-abiding citizens. And I just simply try to avoid those areas that I can't carry legally. So having said that, though, most of the motorcycle trips I take, I am permitted to carry throughout the Western United States. And so that's how we go. And I'm pretty much always armed when I do that.
Okay. Now, the question that was brought up specifically dealt with trigger guards and gloves and equipment and things like that. What are some of your experiences?
Well, I think from listening to that caller that he's got a little bit of misconception about armed and riding motorcycles. It seems like he's worried about shooting his gun while he's on his motorcycle with his motorcycle riding gloves on. And I'm going to tell you that that is a skewed or an incorrect perception. I can't imagine a time when I would deploy a firearm while also riding a motorcycle. And even though my life might be in danger, I'm probably better off trying to ride out of trouble than opposed to shoot my way out of trouble. Plus, the whole ability to even fire a handgun, even if you didn't have heavy-duty gloves on, while you're riding is pretty much a no-starter. First off, you've got the clutch to worry about. You're either slowing down or speeding up, and you're working the gears, and so that clutch takes care of your left hand. Your right hand has to deal with the throttle and the front brake, and so I can't see how you would be using a gun while on a motorcycle anyway.
Well, actually, well, again, it could be my inexperience with motorcycles, as I didn't quite interpret it that way. I assumed that they had pulled over or stopped and were going for a draw, and there's no time to take the glove off before drawing.
Okay, and my question is, why the heck are you stopping in the middle of a gunfight? I just don't see it. We need to be planning ahead. We need to plan where we're going to stop. I don't envision a time when I'm going to pull up and within a moment or two being embroiled in a life and death situation. There are times when you stop at restaurants and you stop at, say, gas stations, times when you stop at rest stops, etc. But, you know, you choose where you're going to stop, not somebody else. And so when you pull into one of these areas, pull into an area that isn't flanked by potential bad guys. When I pull into a rest stop, I don't pull up right in front of the restrooms. I will find a place where there's a lot of distance between me and the next car. And I'll pull in there for a couple reasons. One is I usually have stuff strapped on my motorcycle that I don't want somebody quickly grabbing and walking away with it. But secondly, it gives me time to get off my gloves, get off my jacket, and kind of surveil what's around me, see what's going on, and decide if I even want to stay at that particular rest stop.
What do mounted law enforcement officers do?
I don't have a lot of experience there, but one thing that I know, first of all, that their guns are outside their clothing, not inside. And most of them that I'm aware of, you know, would have stainless guns. And so being exposed to elements, they would be less likely to rust. And then the guns are now polymer guns, of course. But then also they're wearing now heated gear, thin leather gloves, which have heated wiring in it hooked up to their you know, their battery packs or hooked up to the motorcycle battery. And so they're not having to wear bulky, heavy gloves anymore.
Okay. Also today, I know that a lot of the firearms are being designed, especially in terms of the trigger guard, to allow for fingers with gloves on them. So they're actually a larger, more spacious trigger guard.
Yeah. And frankly, if that really was a concern, if they really thought that they're going to be involved with an incident while they had their gloves on, then look to see what they carry for the Alaska State Troopers and Anchorage Police Department and Fairbanks and Juneau, because those guys are going to be walking around with gloves on half the time, and see what they're carrying, they're using, and they probably have pretty large trigger guards. I personally don't know, because that's never been a plan of mine is to shoot it out while I have heavy motorcycle gloves on.
Now, let's step into the area about the Derringer model that he was mentioning with no trigger guard. That scares the heck out of me.
I've seen those, and they're pretty much a non-issue for me. And again, I think that comes from his inexperience in dealing with firearms. So what I'd like to get into is how to manage being armed and riding on motorcycles. And I think there's a lot of positive stuff that we can do to work those together.
Yeah, please. Absolutely. Sounds like a great idea.
Well, first of all, you've got a couple things to think about. One is the size and model of gun that you're going to use. And then secondly is where are you going to carry it? I tend to use the smaller guns when I'm on a motorcycle. I love the idea of slipping a 5-shot J-frame into a pocket holster and sticking it in my jeans pocket. And that's probably my number one mode of carry on a motorcycle, just a simple 5-shot. Again, I'm not planning on getting into any gunfights. I'm looking ahead. I'm avoiding areas. But I also know that if I'm walking into that restroom and somebody jumps me, I can probably take care of the situation with a five-shot J-frame revolver. And so that's my number one carry mode. Some people, you know, wear tighter pants than I do. They don't like to carry in a pocket. And so there are other carry modes that make sense on motorcycles. We've got several of our biker friends that still carry their guns on their belts. They'll go inside the waistband, inside the waistband holster, because if you don't, and you're riding the stylish motorcycle jacket with a fairly short waist, when you reach your arms out, the jacket pulls up and exposes your holster. And so if you're going to carry on the waist, inside the waistband probably makes a lot more sense than an outside the waistband holster. Then make sure that you don't have, you know, your coat, your jacket that you're wearing, that when you've stopped, you can unzip it very quickly. So if you had to get access to the gun, then it would be just like a regular normal concealed carry draw. So after that, there's also the shoulder holster concept. And I know a lot of people carrying a shoulder holster on a motorcycle. I've never liked the shoulder holster personally, but if you do get along well with a shoulder holster, then that's probably the easiest method to use a gun on a motorcycle, is just, you know, put it in a shoulder holster with a light shirt over the top of the gun, and then your motorcycle jacket on, and you're going to be good to go. There's nobody going to know that you've got a firearm on under those circumstances.
So since we're talking about different carry methods, how would, say, off-the-body carry or maybe the fanny packs, how would those affect and be useful or not useful in a motorcycle situation?
Well, you know, earlier I mentioned that my number one carry mode is the inside the pocket holster, when my number two carry mode is a fanny pack. I like carrying a gun in a fanny pack on a motorcycle. It's very easy to work around your bulky clothing. And then if I'm on a long trip, here's another tip. I have a tank bag. I use a big nylon type looking bag that goes on top of the gas tank, and I can slip the whole fanny pack, et cetera, in that tank bag, zip it up, and within about 5 to 10 seconds after I park the motorcycle for whatever I'm doing, I can have the fanny pack out of the tank bag, put on my body, and I'm in a pretty good position, you know, ready to go do whatever I wanted to do and be armed.
The fanny pack just got me thinking about bicyclists and how a lot of these concepts can actually help cyclists as well.
Yeah, in fact, one of my students a few years ago was assaulted while he was riding a bicycle, and he had a fanny pack on, and he had his small lightweight pistol in the fanny pack, and he stopped the assault at gunpoint, and it worked out well for him.
Okay. Now, when you wear the fanny pack while riding, do you keep it in front or do you swing it around to be in the small of your back?
No, I keep it in front. It rests very nicely on the leg, and I keep it pretty loose. And so it rests nicely on the leg. It's probably would be the quickest if I really had to get to a gun as soon as I stopped, that sort of thing, that I could just reach down with my left hand, open it up, and grab the gun. But then again, I'm really not expecting to do that sort of thing.
True. It's always best to be aware and avoid, but be prepared at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Marty. Well, thanks again for coming on and talking to us about motorcycles. And again, I think also a lot of these concepts apply to bicyclists as well. So it should really be important to our general audience.
Yeah, I think the main thing that I wanted to communicate was getting rid of the idea that you're going to need a gun instantaneously, whether you're on a motorcycle or as soon as you've stopped and you've got to grab a gun to shoot it out. You know, your pre-planning needs to carry the day here, not your ability to be a quick drawer just on a motorcycle.
Okay, great. Sound advice from somebody who's had years of experience. So thanks again, Marty, and we'll definitely have you on again.
Okay, take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
Gun Rights Radio Network has the best pro Second Amendment, pro gun rights podcast available on the net. The podcasts are absolutely free when subscribing using iTunes or Zoom Marketplace. Or if you want, you can just listen from the website. Make sure you visit gunrightsradio.com to subscribe. Podcasting freedom, one episode at a time.
Welcome back. You know, and thanks again to Marty for coming on the show. We actually had to pull him off the range to record.
You can find the Firearms Academy of Seattle on the web at www.firearmsacademy.com. A nice, simple domain name. And that will do it for this week. As always, you can follow my daily tips on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+. On Twitter, I'm Practical Def, and Facebook is Practical Defense. I also invite you to check out my book on practical home security. It's available in DeadTree, Kindle, Nook, and iTunes editions. If you have any tips you'd like to share with everyone, a comment on a show, or if you would like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@palladium-education.com. You can also leave us a voicemail on the Practical Defense Tip or Comment line at 805-203-6586. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today.
Practical Defense is a member of the Gun Rights Radio Network at gunrightsradio.com. And that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions, tips, comments, or topic suggestions, send us an email at podcast@palladium-education.com. That's podcast@palladium-education.com. Or leave us a voicemail at 805-203-6586. I look forward to hearing from you. Practical Defense Podcast and theme music are copyright Palladium Education Incorporated.
You can now hear Gun Rights Radio Network while you're on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. On-demand news, talk, and more on your mobile phone. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Available for your iPhone, Android phones, or your BlackBerry. Downloading is easy. Go to Stitcher.com or check out your app store. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Gun Rights Radio Network shows can be found under Sources.